At harvest time, we remember and give thanks to God for his faithfulness throughout the seasons of the year. And we've got some pictures of the four seasons on the screen, all being well. Beginning with spring. Do you remember spring? What do we like about spring? Abigail? Lambs, that's right. Lambs in the fields. Yes? Anything else, Alice? Oh, plants that grow. Yes, seeing new plants like daffodils coming up, or crocuses and snowdrops after the winter. It's a lovely time of year. Who likes the spring? Let's see what follows spring. Oh, summer. Do you remember the summer? Yes, all those lovely days off school. Perhaps visiting new places, meeting new people, or catching up with friends and relatives. What do we like about summer? Going on holiday. Yes? Yes? Ice cream. Oh, yes. Ice cream dripping because it's so hot. Yeah, lovely. Alice again? Going for a swim in the sea. Yeah, like those children. Wonderful. And barbecues? Sunny days. Yes. Not always, but some days. And let's have a look. The season that we're in now. Oh, look at the colours. Aren't the trees looking wonderful at this time of year? Yeah, anything else we like about autumn? No? Conkers falling off the trees. That's right, except when they hit your car. Yeah. Have you been collecting some, Mo? Yeah. Yeah. And we see all the harvest, don't we, in the fields, all now ready, ploughed, for more sowing to begin. Yeah, all the crops safely gathered in. And last of all, the coming season. Anybody looking forward to winter? Oh, Agnes, do you like winter? You like it? Sally, what do you like about winter? Snow, if we get some, yeah? You like all being snug, don't you, inside? Hot chocolates, yes. We know winter brings its problems, doesn't it? When the snow turns to slush and it's slippery and, you know, we might not like the cold. Not everybody likes the cold. So that will be coming up not too long. So spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And the next slides remind us of God's promise to Noah. And we're going to join together in saying these words. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night. What a wonderful promise. And so we join in saying together, thank you, God, that we can trust you to keep your promises, big and small. Amen. We're so thankful to God at harvest time, and not only to God, but to all those farmers and growers, all those pickers and packers, all those people who transport the food, the supermarket shelf stackers, and the men and women on the tills, and all who work so hard to bring the food from the field to our table, to our tummies. We thank our Father God for each and every one today. And our prayer of thanksgiving and then confession is going to be on the screen. This helps us to think about the small beginnings of our harvest. Let us pray. Creator God, for the promise of harvest contained within a seed, we thank you. For the oak tree within an acorn, we thank you. For daily bread within a grain, we thank you. For the apple within a pip, we thank you. For the mystery of nature, gift wrapped for us to sow, we thank you. Amen. And then our prayer of confession. It has the word transformed, which means changed. Father God, if we had a fraction of the faith in you that you have in us, then this world would be transformed, Lord. If we showed a fraction of the love that you show to us, then this world would be transformed, Lord. If we possessed a fraction of the patience that you display with us, then this world would be transformed, Lord. If we shared just a portion of the blessings that we have received from you, then this world would be transformed, Lord. If we showed as much trust in others as you have shown in us, then this world would be transformed, Lord. If we claimed just a fraction of the power you promised to your church, then this world would be transformed, Lord. So transform us first, Lord, that we might transform this world through your love and your power. Amen. If we're honest, the words of that prayer ring true. Sometimes we can be more grasping than giving. Quick to take, but slow to share. A little bit like the farmer in the parable that we're going to hear now. Jesus's parable of the rich farmer. In a moment, I'm going to read the story from the children's Bible. But first of all, I'm going to read the words themselves found in Luke chapter 12. And after this story, after we've heard it through twice, I want you to consider these questions. Three questions. Why was the farmer a fool? What should he have done differently? And what warning is in this story for us today? So why was the farmer a fool? What should he have done differently? And what warning is there in this story for us today? Jesus said, there was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, I haven't anywhere to keep all my crops. What can I do? This is what I will do, he told himself. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store my corn and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things that you have kept for yourself?" And Jesus concluded, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight." Now I'm going to come and share this story with any of the children who'd like to see the pictures in the book on the front row. So if you want to come and look at the pictures, then come and have a sit here on these seats or on the front here if you'd like to come and see. Anybody want to come down? Do you want to come? Parents are allowed as well if you want. Here we are. Here is a farmer who is very rich. The farmer is rich because his soil is rich. Do you want to come and sit on the floor? That's it. And his corn grows faster than anyone else's. And higher than anyone else's corn. And at harvest time, he has much more of it than anyone else. Lucky man. Who likes sweet corn? Likes sweet corn. Lovely. This year, he has so much corn that his old barn can't hold it. It's bursting at the seams. "No problem," says the farmer. "I will pull it down and build a bigger one. Then next year, I will be rich enough to take life easy." So he made plans to build a bigger barn. But when harvest comes around again, the new barn is not big enough. The greedy farmer has planted more corn than before, and carrots too. "No problem," says the farmer. "I will build an even bigger and better barn. Then next year I will be richer still, and then I can really enjoy myself." So he builds a bigger, better barn. But at harvest time, even the bigger, better barn is not big enough. And again, the farmer has planted too much corn, too many carrots, and a few cabbages as well. You all like cabbage, don't you? No. What a big barn. Well, this time the farmer says to himself, "I will build the biggest, grandest barn the world has ever seen, and then I shall be so rich I need never work again." The barn he builds reaches up to the sky. It's like a big cathedral, isn't it? When it is finished, the farmer sighs a great big sigh. "Tomorrow I will gather in the harvest, and then at last I shall begin to enjoy myself, I know. I'll have a party." But that very night, he dies in his sleep, just like that. The birds eat his corn. The rabbits dig up his carrots, and his cabbages go to seed. The big barn stands empty, and the rich farmer never does get to enjoy his money. Poor man. Jesus says, "How silly it is for a man to spend his whole life storing up riches for himself. To God, he is a really poor man." Okay, now we're going to think about that story and ask ourselves those three questions. So just where you are, in your seats, in twos or threes, You may need to move. Just have a chat about what you think the story is about. Okay? We'll just have a few minutes to do that together. And I'm going to talk to the children here, so I'll ask Alan to turn my microphone down while we have a chat about the story. Okay, we're going to come back together now. And we'll just take some time to respond to these questions. We've got a handheld mic, so if I could ask someone just to pop round with that. Sally, thank you. Let's just have an opportunity to respond to these questions. So I'm going to ask an adult, first of all, why was a farmer a fool? Why was the farmer a fool? The adults. Wynne, over there, Sally.
Because he didn't prepare beforehand.
Okay. We didn't catch that because the microphone isn't just working at the moment, but Wynne, would you be able to just repeat that and I'll... Yes. Oh, it's not working at the moment. Okay. Never mind, Wynne. If you just say that again a bit louder and then... Oh, get up, please do. Thank you. The importance of preparing and thinking about our plans and God's plans. Okay. Any of the children want to answer why the farmer was a fool? Yeah. Up there.
The farmer was a fool because he had her friends, but if his friends came round and they asked for corn and he said no, that he wouldn't have any friend and he kept all the corn for himself.
That's true. Yes, he didn't seem to have many friends. He was just thinking about his own life, wasn't he? And you know, God doesn't make a harvest for one person, does he? He never makes a harvest for one. God always makes enough and more than enough to share with everyone. That's right. And I think we're beginning to answer the second question, aren't we? What should he have done differently? Would anybody like to answer that one? Alice has got her hand up.
He should have shared it and then he might have lots and lots of friends.
That's right. Yeah, he should have shared all those good things and he would have been able to feed lots of people. Remember the story of Joseph? In the Old Testament, there were 7 years of plenty when all the crops were wonderful, and he stored it up. Not for himself, because then there were 7 years of famine with no crops. But wise Joseph was able to use what had been stored and kept to feed the people throughout those 7 years of hunger. And that's wise, isn't it? That's what we're doing today. We gather things in so that they can be shared out. Any other responses to that question? Well, let's come on to the last question then. What warning is in this story for us today? Anyone who hasn't spoken yet? Any adults? Jacqueline, do you want to say?
Thank you. To make good plans and be well organised.
to make good plans and be better organized. Yes? Thank you. Anyone else? Kathy at the back. Sorry, Sally, we're making you work this morning. Kathy?
To use what God has given us for the benefit of everybody, not just ourselves, and to bring God in on the plans.
Yes, to seek God. Thank you.
For us to know that nobody knows tomorrow, when we make plans, if we don't include God in them, they may not go as we plan, unless God is in it.
Yes, yeah. It's good to make plans, but we should always say, if God wills, if it's God's will, don't take life for granted. We know that life hangs by a very delicate thread, don't we? And we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but we know that God will be with us. So it makes us think about our own lives. What is our own vision? What are we building? What are we sowing for tomorrow? What are our hopes and our fears? We are to trust God for him to supply the harvest of tomorrow. To live more simply and not just for ourselves. Did anyone else want to add to what we've shared together around the word this morning?
A little story that my mum always used to share with me was that at her church, she was down helping at their coffee morning, and someone bought her a big bundle of rhubarb. So on the way home, she shared it with her sister. And when she got to her house, she opened the back door, and there on the back door step was another bundle of rhubarb. So she'd shared hers, and God had still provided more. So she always shared that. Yeah. Yeah. So if you give out, you always receive.
Thank you. And thank you. On that note, we do thank you all for all that you've shared and all that you've thought about this morning. We're going to close our time of sharing together around the Word of God by listening to the words of Jesus that follow immediately after that parable. And we're going to listen to words from Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22.
About your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give them to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. I'm going to ask Jo now to bring a word of thanks. Thank
you. Well, as Peter mentioned, all the gifts that you brought here today, all the tins and the packets, is all going to go to the food bank here in Haverhill. And as the newest employee of Reach Projects, I'm very happy to stand here and say thank you for your donations. Thank you for everything that you've given this morning. But rather than just listen to me, we're going to watch a video. Looks like I do a lot of things, but I really don't. I don't do all of that. There are plenty of people here in this congregation, in this church, who do a lot for Reach. Rosemary at the Resource Centre, she does fantastic work there as an advisor helping people. And Jill as a welcomer at the Resource Centre. Roger and Margaret, we know you do a lot for Reach too. Dave Rinaldi helps us with our tax forms. Many people here who give so much of their time to Reach community projects. And so all of this food, you now know where it's going to go. It's going to go to that big warehouse, and it's all going to get weighed and sorted, and it's going to go to help people in need in this town. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jo, on behalf of all of us, for that window on Reach. And to say as well, thank you for all the gifts that are donated throughout the year, through the purple boxes that are at the back of the church there where Tala is. We have those purple boxes that are always there, and you can always bring goods in on any Sunday. So thank you.
Sorry, I've always got more to say, haven't I? If you don't want to support us by food, but you'd like to support by money, you can always give monthly or give one-off donations. So we're very appreciative of that. And I can see Janet there. Janet and Mick, they do a lot as well at the warehouse helping with Reach. So there's many ways that you can support us. So if you would like to support on a monthly basis, please let me know and I'll supply you with the form.